This is NerdFT Radio, where nerds full-time, explorers of the metaverse, surfers of the blockchain, and not in our mom's basement. I'm your host, RSG, a.k.a. the ETH Seller, and I'm here with Crypto Cryer, a.k.a. the ETH Denver Or. Does that make sense?
Right.
That definitely makes sense. Cryer, you're heading to Denver. It's coming. It's here.
Yeah, that's right.
Are you excited?
I'm extremely pumped. This is my first ETH Denver event. I have never been. I'm an ETH maxi. I've got all my ETH shirts ready to go.
Is it a real ETH Denver without wearing at least one ETH shirt?
A pack three.
Yeah, you're chilling. You're golden. What's the fourth? Wait, now I have to know what the fourth day is. That's not the shirt.
It's just not a long sleeve shirt. Nothing.
Man, nothing fancy. I thought you're gonna represent the NFT community over there. You're like, nah, I don't want to be seen with that shit.
No, I mean, I would. Dude, to be honest, I fucking ruined my doodle shirt with a stain. The white shirt got me finally.
Oh, no.
I'm actually really surprised that it took this long because it's a white shirt and I'm fucking disaster usually on shirts. But yeah, it's down for the count. And then my gutter shirt is just, I wear it like every third shirt. So it's just so tattered. I got inner red shirts to wear.
Hey, at least, hey, listen, you're going just like Gutter is. You're like Gutter's getting destroyed. That shirt's getting destroyed. You're just allowing yourself to follow the flow with that shirt.
That's right.
But let's go. Let's get into it. We got a few topics to talk about today before you got to get your ass over to Atlanta to then go over to Denver to have a time over there. By the way, is it going to be cold? Probably.
I think, yeah, one of the days was like actually really cold. Like 18 was low, but like most of the time it was like 50s.
No thanks. Actually,
like 50
nice.
To 30, so it wasn't like horrible. Just that one night was like really cold overnight.
I hope you packed.
I don't know if you've been to Denver before, but it's not like humid. It's not. Yeah, I don't know. The cold just didn't feel that. And I went skiing one time, and everyone's like, "Oh, you're gonna be so cold." And I'm like, have my jacket open, like skiing. Like this is. I'm like sweating my ass off. I'm like, nah. This is.
All right. Not cold. Just for me, at least, I have to. I'm more bone than anything, so I need to pack a little bit more.
I got the insulation layer extra.
Yeah, all right, you're chilling. All right, so let's go into it. We have talked about this before, and it is Dookie Dash coming back, right? But not just Dookie Dash coming back. There's a new game, Psychedelic Toads. I don't know what the hell's going on, to be honest. I got so upset about playing that game that I just don't want to talk about this. But we do need to talk about the individual that actually won the Golden Key. We all know that it was a pro gamer. It was a Fortnite pro gamer that's been in the e-games industry for some time now. If I'm not mistaken, over on the last 3-4 years, if I'm not mistaken, he's 18 years old. In the last 3-4 years, he's made around $750,000 in tournaments. And obviously...
702,000 dollars.
Damn, I was just trying to give him like a nice 38k more, but it's fine. I was giving him a little bump, but he was actually able to go ahead and buy one of those passes. Obviously, he used the boost, everything like that. He was very good. That's why he's a pro gamer, and he won and had over, if I'm not mistaken, 1,000,000 points on the first Dookie Dash, which then led him to getting that golden key. Now we did know that there was a offer on that golden key for $1.2 million. He said no. He said double it. And 3 days later, someone didn't double it, but went to 1.6 and he sold it. So this individual that truly wasn't as big into NFTs as obviously like yourself or myself, but saw an opportunity where, hey, this is interesting. Let me see what this is all about. And a lot of people obviously were very upset with this. The pro gamers are coming. It's unfair for the avid NFT goer or ape holder that is 40 years old and loses their ape every third day, that they're going to have a chance at actually going ahead
and fast switch fibers.
Yeah. Like they're already slow enough to get their ape stolen that what did you really think you had a chance at winning a game that took actual reflex? Probably not, but no shade except only to Nate, but Cryer, on the sense of what we saw and everything, it's already pretty much wrapped up. Someone has that key. We're still waiting to see what's going to happen. The whole process of it getting there from the pro gamers coming in, people paying other people to play for them, just the overall scope of Dookie Dash. What's your take on it personally?
I think it was massively successful. Got new people into the space. It got people with large audiences into the space. I think that's a good move. I guarantee you he will look more into NFTs now. After winning $1.6 million for probably what equated to double, or a little over double of what he's made his entire life. And the esports circuit, that's very wild. Lucrative business already. He spent $8,000 in boosts. He did put a little bit of money into it, but the reward of time played and shows you it's an equalizer, right? I do think it's NFTs are like an equalizer. They give you the ability. I think this was an ability to show skill. We've seen it happen before. People that have been, e-gaming is one of the largest growing industries in America or the world.
Oh yeah.
A lot of e-gamers that are top tier get paid more than professional sports athletes. So I do think that, again, it's going that direction. Gaming NFTs are making a huge push. We're seeing that left and right. Most large companies coming in the space. So I do think it's going that direction. And making ultra competitive and highly competitive games, I think, will be like that. Again, it's that social aspect again, right? Like everyone's posting their high scores. So I do think it was overall very well done, very well executed. And I think the Toad thing was kind of like they could have changed it up a little bit. There's like a reskin of the thing, and there's like a Toad mode in this where you just collect as many Toads as you possibly can to get a secondary companion pretty much on your pass. But overall, again, I think it was handled extremely well, and they're repurposing that. And huge congrats to Mongrel for the $1.6 million. That's incredible. I do think that price will... I don't know. I think the person who bought it was... What was his name? Adam something. He was like a billionaire.
It's Adam Weissman? Weissman
or something. Yeah. Weissman or something like that. Yeah, billionaire in the recycling industry. Like 50 or something like that. Didn't have any other really... I just think it's crazy. Like the people that are getting into these things are from all walks of life. And again, it's crazy. I think this will, I don't know about the resale value of that thing, but it is a one of one asset. And we don't know what that key unlocks. Could be something crazy. So we'll see.
No, it's truly crazy. Again, listen, at the end of the day, Yuga is that leader for us in the space, in the NFT space. And they're setting an example of what a lot of these projects need to do. And it's very minimal things. Obviously, there's the fudders that are going to say they didn't even make anything revolutionary. That game was so boring, this and that. Crier, we've talked about it. You personally didn't enjoy the game as much as others. And you still see and value. Yeah.
Anyone could play it if they had a pass delegated to them. You didn't have to buy a $7,000 pass. You just need to know somebody that bought it. So again, the people teaming up with skilled gamers, I think that was, we saw that happen a ton of times. People literally turned into business. Look at, shout out to Etan, that man, he did, I don't know, 5 or 6 passes for people, probably made like a couple $1,000s because he's like a young guy, put time into it, has the reflexes to still get these things done.
My Iron Man mouse wasn't doing it. It's actually already, because I was playing so much, it's like coming off over here. So you know what? Listen, I tried. Nate, I just want to say thank you for finding someone else that was a lot better than me. I will say it is somewhat good, but there's definitely people that are just really good at this game. And those reflexes are just wild. And they probably had a better better mouse than my Iron Man
better
mouse
equipment
over here. Better equipment on that side. But I did want to mention, on the side of what you said, where you were able to delegate it to multiple people, and that allowed people to actually go ahead and explore and be a part of the ecosystem of Yuga without actually having to own one of those assets that a lot of people always say is super expensive to get into. Yeah. Being able to delegate like that is super cool to see, not only on the sense of Yuga, but hopefully in the later on in the future of NFT projects and assets and the ecosystems of multiple NFT ecosystems will be able to see that, maybe even in real life events as well, being able to give that access to someone. Imagine, Crier, there's an event in ETH Denver that I had access to. I know you're going. So instead of me physically having to send you the asset to your wallet.
Exactly.
You're able to go ahead and delegate that asset for you to have access to these events that you're going to be at ETH Denver.
There's so many opportunities for that. There's like a leasing option. Yeah. There's terms money, and conditions of when there's so many things that people can do with these things. And again, it just shows you how liquid or movable these things, like realistically, how easily transferable all this is. It makes a huge difference. Again, you did a great job on it. Still holding a bunch of ape coin, though, I will say there's a unlock of 4% of the entire supply in 15 days. Just be cautious of that. I would say up till the day that it happens, similar with looks, the big holders pump it up and then when the unlock happens, it usually goes bad.
Now, the unlock is, what about the unlock? So what is unlocking? Who is receiving these tokens? Do you specifically know?
Yeah, so it was 4% of the entire supply. Launch partners, round one, was getting 2% of that entirety of that. So they're getting 2% of supply unlocked. So I think it was like 25 million total tokens. Those are going to be dropped instantly, I would assume. And then the founders, it was like founders getting some, launch partners two, three. The largest unlock was to the launch partner one, which it's just, I'm sure it's just the pretty much like the book of who cap table or whatever, who was putting money in to get these things. So launch partner one, two, and three are going to get their money out as quickly as possible, I would assume. At least half of that is probably going to get to the market. I'm sure it's up an insane amount from what they purchased at, if I had to guess. We'll see. Anytime there's a big unlock like that, I would definitely say it's be cautious, especially with like prices pumping up towards that date.
Yeah, we've seen we've seen it before. And again, just be cautious. Yeah. Definitely be cautious.
I mean, it's free market when people get a bunch of money unlocked, similar with the whole unlock with the Shanghai update.
That's what I wanted to say.
Everyone's saying I'm going to get some ETH. I'm going to be selling some of my profits. For sure. I definitely think it's something that I haven't been able to touch for 2 years. I think it's a little bit different. Ape's a little bit different, obviously, because it's only been a couple months, really. But I definitely think that there will be an opportunity to get some lower prices if you are interested in Ape. And again, like as the utility of it goes, it looks to be they're going to use it for their ecosystem only. Like they're not going to have it to be giving you money or ETH or paid dividends. It's just going to be like, use our Ape to get games, and it's going to be like an in-game token, just how like
use it in the other side
every game, free-to-play game works right now. So I definitely think that there's simply opportunity to buy back lower if that's your issue, something you're interested in.
That makes sense. Cryer, this summer do we see ETH at 3K?
3K?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, just wanted to throw something out, throw you a curveball. You weren't expecting that question, so you know I just had to do something.
3K, that's just people, like...
For the people on YouTube, you saw the reaction. It was pretty funny. He was like, wait, what? What just happened?
3K is really high, I think. If we do see highs, or I could see like 2,400 being like the possible top. That's where kind of we broke down. That's a really hard spot to break out of. 2K to 2.4 would be really high, and that I would think it would probably go back down to the 1500s if that was the case. But similar to how it happened in 2019, it went down to 120, and then it went all the way back up to 350, and then 2 months later it was back at 120. One was, oh, we're back, and then everyone, I lost 32 ETH in that. Be
damn
careful.
Spontaneous question again, you ready? The odds of Ryan Carson leaving Web3?
100%. He already left.
Damn.
We interview him, and then 5 days later, how much money did he spend on Bitcoin punks? I don't know, an insane amount. And then now he's gone.
He's left. And it turns out
it's happened with two guests now.
Yeah, it turns out that if you come on this show, you typically will rug your audience. I am so kidding right there, because we've had great guests. Shout out to those that have yet to abandon ship on the Web3 side. But unfortunately, the pre-ruggers. Unfortunately, we did have someone that's been on the show that went ahead and rugged his community in a way. Obviously, what happened was
he never released anything, right?
Cryer, if I was a content creator, influencer, whatever, and I told you to listen to my spaces every single day for the last 8 months, and you're going to receive something at the end of 12 months. And then before that happened, I go, hey, I'm out. Would you be
upset?
They
did receive something. They received a new host.
They received
Zeneca bought it.
Yeah, but this is ridiculous.
I get that.
But yeah, we did see that pretty much Ryan Carson is leaving the Daily Dose. He was then able to go ahead and transition the Daily Dose spaces over to Zeneca. Zeneca's a good guy. He's for the people. He's there to help people.
He was always a really strong educator when he first started. I think he did a great job. We had him on the NRP one time.
Wish he would have retweeted the actual episode, but I'm not throwing shade anywhere. It is what it is. But shout out to Zeneca for putting them on his back and being able to go ahead and hope to bring back this community, because the community is very upset with what's going on. Ryan Carson did jump on a Spaces where he actually was crying and saying that he is leaving the space. It is just pretty weird. Again, obviously, like when you and I had the interview with him, it felt genuine. It felt like an individual that wanted to do something special, but unfortunately things just didn't happen. And one of the things was his Flux project that was going on that he was raising, if I'm not mistaken, it was $10 or $20 million. And he made a tweet that listed a bunch of people that were investing in it. It was Gary V, Luca,
G Money,
all these people. And then out of nowhere, a few of them started tweeting saying this isn't true. Like, I never paid anything.
It wasn't that much money. Like, they were looking to raise a lot of capital and they were only putting in like 10 grand or something like that.
Yeah, it was
like,
very minimal.
He was asking for like millions.
Yeah, it was just very strange how it went. And obviously, because of all the things that were going on and what he did with buying those fake punks and just like back-to-back just weird things, a lot of those people on that list backed out and a lot of those sponsors backed out. And because of that, I guess he got the cold feet and said, I'm outcha. And he's unfortunately out. And yesterday, which was the 28th of February, his Forever Punk was listed. And people are saying, oh, he might be hacked or this. He isn't hacked. He's getting the heck out of here. He lost too much money and he needs money. And that Forever Punk is where he's going to get that money, it looks like. But
yeah, I don't know. I thought we had a great conversation with him. I think he was legitimately knew what he was talking about on just like the tech side and stuff like that. Yeah, I don't think he's made a lot of really good moves in terms of like purchases for funds. I personally wouldn't be looking to follow his stuff. But yeah, I did think he had legit fervor or interest in the space. So I really don't like seeing everybody. I don't know. I don't like what he's done on some of the aspects, like the Flux. He already has a 121G fund and now he's starting another fund. But that's, if you're powerful and you have these friends and already there, that happens all the time in the real traditional business space. I don't know. I definitely feel like he gets a lot of heat.
Here's the thing, Cryer. Here's the thing for me, that a lot of people in this space and the generation that we're in right now, the year that we're in right now, social media, the whole nine, people don't understand that businesses fail and things like this have happened for the last five, thousands. Six, seven thousands of years. And the difference between then and here is that obviously it's more public here. Those individuals that are on Spaces every single day, the individuals
or they're
that
not used to investing. They're used to like buying things and being a consumer and not being an investor. Like,
and the more and more we grow into the technology side where we're able for the everyday person to invest, be a part of these ecosystems, to do all these things, people play with emotions. And that's why there's businessmen, businesswomen, investors, financial advisors, all these things. You know. And of course, when we think about all investments, we can't always play on emotion. And a lot of people on the internet, that's literally all they do.
So, and look at the other side of it too. There's probably, maybe this is why there's a reason that there's accredited investing, right? That's a thing in the US. Those are the people who are able, probably if you have that much money, you're able to handle the losses that's not a thing in Web3 or crypto space. It's people can lose, they put too much money in, they gain, like practically are gambling with it. See some of the issues there for sure. But again, I think it's, I don't know. I'm just of the idea of it was a failed fund. There's thousands of failed funds. It's what happens. And I don't like seeing a lot of people. It's always just people coming out of the woodwork to attack him when he's down. I don't see any benefit or to that. I just think he was interesting, was a good guest. And I think it was something that I'm not personally for or against at all. It's his choice and that's what happens.
Yeah, I will say that a lot of people did dig up with some information on like his Web2 side of things. And there are some, again, weird things on that side as well.
I mean, every rich person has crazy, shady shit.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. Maybe some companies that went under just what's going on now. And on top of that, was laying off people. But while that was going on, he was like vacationing, bought a new mansion, a new boat, all these stuff. So again, like you said,
that's
every
like
rich
every
person
lobbyist
has,
in existence, they lobby to keep wages yeah. low or whatever, and then spend all the extra money on houses and shit. It's just the same shit, different day, realistically.
It's unfortunate. It's yeah. definitely unfortunate. And for the individuals that are a part of that ecosystem, hey, listen, if you need another show to listen to, and you don't even listen, we're not telling you you have to show up to the spaces yeah, every single day.
We don't
all
do po
apps.
Just
we
if
don't
you
do po
ups.
Hey, maybe if you, hey, listen, if you want a po up, you let us know. Maybe we can slap yeah, one we'll on there. Something. But if you want to just join, be a part of it, maybe even jump on the show and just nerd out with us. That's what we're all about here. This is all we're trying to do. And that pretty much leads me up to Crier, the nerding out part that we always do, because we're right. talking about all this serious stuff. And what's going on the nerd side is truly awesome things, and I do want to go ahead and talk about that, because I know you're not a fan of the show, but Mandalorian season 3 is out, and I have to say golly, that was what was good. That
was the 90% of the dialogue of that show.
Oh my god. All right, just let me put it this way. The show started off good. We're getting a good feel of the present and the old, new characters as well as old characters. Grogu is back. We have such great things going on, and we were actually able to see a little bit more of the Mandalorians in this episode. So, super pumped. And for the individuals that have seen the last season, remember, we did see that Mando went ahead and took off that helmet. And because of that, he is not a real Mandalorian. And it looks like this whole season is going to be him trying to become a Mandalorian again. And you are able to do that if you go to some waters on Mandalore under some mines and you have to jump in the water, then you just become a Mandalorian again. Super weird. But hey, listen, if you're in a religion or cult that makes you just wear a helmet for the rest of your life, there's going to be some weird things going on. So what were you what was I expecting? But Mando is out, number one. Number two, Bad Batch finally started picking up a little bit, and we're starting to see some cool things on that side. I know, Crier, you haven't watched Bad Batch at all, but it's one of the better animated Star Wars series, I personally believe. I love just the Bad Batch as a whole. And then on the other side, The Last of Us. What did you think of that last episode, Crier?
Super good. I love the, I'm always a big sucker for like really well written backstories and stuff like that. And again, they're showcasing backstories with what's Emily, right?
Ellie.
Backstory with Ellie. And I think it was really well done.
Where she would talk about where that's where she got bit. And now we are able to see that in this episode. So it was great. I agree with you. It's awesome to actually be able to see that.
Yeah, like how this her antibodies are starting and showing that she's unable. It was just such a cool thing for sure. And it gives you some background into the Fireflies and like the place that she was at for the QZ zones. And the
you know. And if you guys remember, she did tell Joel that she has killed someone, is what she said to Joel. And if you add things together, it looks like she killed. It's the friend that she might be killing. Sure. We'll see what happens on that.
Spoilers over here, bro.
They listen. That's an assumption. There's no spoiler there. That's just an assumption.
Yeah.
Because it didn't happen. Nothing happened. Spoiler here. It's been 4 days. It's the 3 day mark.
That was a week.
4 day.
All right.
Oh yeah. No, we're back to four now. This is The Last of Us. This is a Last of Us podcast now, end podcast. And if you do your homework, Crier, we can do this, but sometimes you just don't do that homework, so we have to wait that week. I'm just saying that's why we sometimes wait a week. But she did mention that, that's why I wanted to go ahead and say that. And again, it was super cool. I will say that in a lot of shows, obviously The Walking Dead or Game of Thrones, at times where people were upset with filler episodes. And we've already seen, I would say, probably two filler episodes in The Last of Us, and both of them were backstories. And to be honest, like you said, I'm a sucker for those backstories if they're done well. And both of them were done very well, because at the end, it wrapped up the reasoning for the full episode. It showcased why that whole episode was needed, to show the emotion of Ellie at the end, or the emotion of Joel, or the where they showed up at the end of that episode when they showed the two, I forgot the both names of those guys, but when they were able to get the weapons in that community and whatnot.
Yeah,
but it was just super cool though. Like, it just circles back. So you're actually going, it's not just like a full on, like a filler for just no apparent reason, which we've seen in so many of these freaking shows that I spend so much time on. But the other thing I did want to, the other thing I did want to mention was on the video game side, Cryer, you're enjoying Marvel Snap a little bit. I'm actually liking this. You're sending some snapshots of your games, of your record. You're doing some things over there. Cryer, what's going over there?
I'm a really big sucker for a stats.
Good tracker. A good tracker.
I love that aspect. I used to do that. I had a Hearthstone tracker for all my games of Hearthstone. I like showing off my win records usually.
Okay. So how's everything going? Let me ask you, what's that deck? Cool. What's that card that you're using that's like...
To be honest, I'm still using that deck I made from the very beginning. It wasn't anything fancy. It's all the starter cards. I think people don't know what the hell I'm playing. And they're like... Everyone's expecting to play...
Yeah, the fancy cards. Crazy stuff.
They're just expecting... They're like, oh... They're like, oh, he's playing this card. He's playing the ongoing set or whatever. And you play like three ongoing sets. You're like, okay, now I know you're going to play Spectrum. You're going to play this. So I need to counter these three things. And yeah, people are like, what the hell is this guy even playing? It's just a bunch of random cards that have really good curve. Yeah. And I think that kind of throws them off. And then, yeah, it's just like high powered cards. And I use the Iron Man multiplier. Is like my kill shot, and then everything else is just beefing up the other locations with high ramp and higher good value cards, right? So they don't have synergies, they just have good value. And
blows my mind. What rank are you on right now on like the season?
56.
I'm at 70 right now. I had that one last season, I was able to get to 93, 94, and then like I ended that season in like on 70 or something. I just listen, man. I don't know what's going on this.
So on this reset, it'll be going. I'll be going back to like 20. I'll lose 30 rank.
It's 30. You'll lose 30 rank. Even if you're at 56, it's going to be from 50 to 20. If you're at 60, you're at 30, 70, 40, 80, 50. So always 30 on that side. But again, I'm having a blast with the game. They're actually involving a little bit more things. They brought out Token Tuesday, which is allowing people for 24 hours to snag 40 collector tokens and 15 boosters for 45 gold. I will say that for the last 3-4 months of this game, gold has been... annoying. You're not able to buy the season pass with gold. You're only pretty much able to buy variants. And for some people, like, listen, you're talking to the Marvel Fortnite like skin god over here. I have every single Marvel one. You will take my money if it's Marvel. So when you look at this, you're probably going to take my money. You've already taken my money, Marvel Snap, on every single season. But I will say I've restrained myself from multiple variants unless it's like Doctor Doom, Doctor Strange, or probably those two characters, to be honest with you. So
I haven't bought anything, and it is rough on that side of it. I don't care about the variants or what, like, really. Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't really care about the change, like the skins or whatever. They don't do anything besides give you something cool.
Just look cool.
Yeah, I don't like that you can't buy like a pass or whatever without using
tokens,
like,
there's
no way to earn
like
it. You have to pay cash.
Exactly.
Which, I mean, in the vein of free to play games, I feel like that's. You should reward someone who's grinding the shit out of it, because most likely they're probably telling all their friends to play and word of mouth, like marketing type style thing. Yeah, exactly. So I do think that even Hearthstone had it to where you could earn packs by playing and getting stuff going. The only thing you can earn here is different color skins. I think that's stupid. That's been my main problem. I would play way more. I do the mechanics. It is a great game. It's super fast, super easy to play. But yeah, I really hate the card mechanic. I really hate how they don't have like packs or something to open or whatever. It's like linearly, like you can only get these cards if you're putting like an insane amount of time in. So I think it is a little bit punishing on that side for people, unless they're buying it. Like season pass, like you only get 10 rewards out of the 7
good amount.
Rewards or whatever.
But yeah, you're not guaranteed any new cards. All you have to do is just keep grinding, leveling up, and you have a chance for those newer cards. But again, on the side of this Token Tuesday, I do enjoy that where you're getting those collector tokens, which allow you to get those new cards. If you go over to the shop, if you collect a bunch of those tokens, you're every single 6 hours, you'll see a new card that you can use those tokens on. So the 450 gold for the Token Tuesday for 400 tokens, I probably will say that's probably the best bang for your buck if you are looking to spend your gold. And Cryer said, if you're not into those variants, again, it's the best thing. And I will say this right now for all the people listening. Do not spend your gold on the leveling up tokens, the blue ones. Don't do it. Just hold on tight. They're testing.
The only thing I've spent my gold on is the new quests.
That's what you're supposed to do at the beginning if you're a brand new person, 110%. Right. But later down the road, I would say hold off on that and start looking at these new, the token Tuesday. Every Tuesday, 450 gets you 400 collector score and just keep on going.
450 gold or?
450 gold for 400 tokens. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Those are the ones that you want. It's like diamonds.
I know you're talking about. Yeah. I just started collecting those, like in the. I think I broke out of tier two, and I'm near tier three or whatever rewards now. So I'm in like the 500 and something collector, whatever. I'm getting like the cash, like the random cash. Yeah. It's not a card every time now. It's just like,
okay. So you're already out there. So on that side, you're gonna start being able to get gold on those as well, and like crazy stuff on that side. I will say, to try to wrap this up, we do have a brand new card. We have Kang the Conqueror that has slid over to Marvel Snap. So what you're gonna be able to do with this card is that you are able to look at what your opponent did, and then it restarts the game, the actual turn, without Kang involved. So you throw Kang on turn five, you get to see what your person wanted to play, and then it just resets it, and then without Kang on the board, you're able to play. So it pretty much, it's a mix of Daredevil and White Queen that allow you to see probably what moves your opponent's going to play on five or six because of the higher card that they have on their hand. Yeah, and that's what's going on. They've already found an exploit if you use Kang on turn five, and somehow being able to use Zola, you can just like Zola Kang twice, and then it just, it's a rotation, an infinite loop that people have been using to get people just to quit, because you won't lose or you won't win. So you'll be trolling it the whole time. You'll probably lose 2 to 4 tokens. So just be careful on that side. I got super lucky, Cryer. I played someone with Kang, but I threw Cosmo, and he threw Kang, and my Cosmo revealed first, so the Kang effect didn't happen. I still lost, but yeah.
That's the other thing I don't like a lot, because the on reveal of things or whatever, don't do like the whole turn. I feel like that's like, when it's my turn or whatever, it's like we're releasing at the same time. If I play an on reveal, like I play Shang-Chi and against his whatever,
if he
play
first, like a, or if you,
yeah,
first,
you don't,
it doesn't,
yeah, you,
get the
nothing
other.
Kill it. I'm like,
you know why? So
yeah, you see who gets reveals.
It's the light at the top. Like who gets to see it first.
I just I feel like that's like not a great mechanic for on reveal cards, because
obviously, yeah.
If Shang-Chi, you still have to choose where he's gonna play. If you still nail where he's playing and it doesn't kill it, like that really fucking sucks. What's the point of that card?
So you got to play lower end cards so that you reveal second. Because if you're winning,
You can choose who reveals. How do you?
So you will know if you're winning two of the three slots prior turn, you're going first. So if you know that, you can kind of like
know that
map
it
out.
There, so
the mechanic there. Cryer's about to go ham now because he knows the mechanic. Yeah. So we'll see. We'll have to catch him next time when he's back. Cryer, by the way, this Sunday, will you be in Denver?
I will be in Denver, yes. So we're going to be skippity skip. To be honest, I don't know. We'll play it by ear. I'm trying to do some live podcasting. They have like a podcasting area at East Denver. If I get some stuff, I'm actually going to go to Best Buy shortly and get a camera.
Let me know. We'll let you guys know exactly. And Cryer, have a good trip. Don't freeze to death. Don't sell your ETH. Can you sell ETH at ETH Denver?
Dude, I'm actually really excited for this stuff, because they're giving away. There's so much cool stuff they're doing. There's like, you sign up ahead of time with a wallet and stuff like that. And then they're giving you like food tickets and stuff like that to transact on like MetaMask, like a wallet. So it's like either XDAI or I can't remember which one it was, but there was like a bunch of things where you can interact with everything on MetaMask. And I'm going to be excited, because I'm going to be actually able to use currency, like how I want to use currency.
How you see the future
like,
of
it'll
this.
Be like in the future. Yeah, exactly. I'll be able
to. Yeah, that's awesome.
Walk
that's
up, awesome. Scan that, pay that, boom, leave, walk away. I think that's going to be awesome. I'm pumped.
Absolutely. Hey, listen, the next episode, unless we do have a guest, which
we have next, yeah, we do Wednesday, have a guest, we have a guest, yeah.
After that, we'll definitely have to have a recap, unless we do have one this Sunday. But again, thank you guys for tuning into another episode of Nerd FT Radio. Cryer's going to Denver. I'm getting it. By the way, my new Tezzy's coming on Sunday as well. So we have a great weekend coming ahead of us. But for the rest of you guys, we will catch you guys next week on another episode of Nerd FT Radio. Keep building those bricks. Peace. Nope, that's not it either.